Record.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And today we are going to be covering The Crown, Season 5, Episode 9, Couple 31, and Season 5, Episode 10, Decommissioned.
Which means that Season 5 will be decommissioned.
Yeah. Yay! We're very excited.
Until Season 6.
You know, take what you can get, right?
Yeah, we have time to recover, so.
Exactly. And by the way, for those of you looking forward to new things, Season 3 of Ted Lasso will be coming out very soon, and we hope to be covering that.
We'll hopefully be doing that next.
Yeah, and then we're going to go on to whatever other shows we choose to go on to.
Yeah.
So if you have a vote, please let us know. I mean, if it's going to be Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, or something completely different or new. And by the way, the Queen spinoff of Bridgerton starts in April.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, May. I think it's May 4th, maybe.
And hopefully Bridgerton Season 3 will be coming out soon.
Please. Please.
They've been filming for a while, so I feel like it's probably going to be around the summer.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Me too.
So, and obviously we've given way, way, way too much thought to Bridgerton. So,
And that's not going to stop anytime soon.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And if we get bored or whatever, if you want us to, we can do Fantastic Beasts. Oh. There are a bunch of things we haven't done. So there are a lot of possibilities out there, but we are going to go on with our regular caveats, disclaimers, and all of those things, which include that there are not going to be any spoilers for the next season of The Crown.
But for future events that happened in real life, probably.
Right. And we might speculate about what we think Season 6 of The Crown might do. Mm-hmm. And then there obviously also will be cursing. Yeah, there's going to be cursing. And we are drinking things. What are you having?
I'm having Dr. Pepper.
It's not water.
It is not water. It is a celebratory drink, and I just need caffeine. So that's just what I went with.
Yeah, so I went full American, and I think it is appropriate to go with Fireball and ginger ale, which Fireball is still technically whiskey.
It is
cinnamon flavored. If you've not had it, it is quite lovely. And all of this feels like a giant Fireball. So, Fireball and ginger ale. It's actually a pretty tasty drink. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. We start with a courtroom beginning set up. It seems that there will be couples throughout this episode getting divorced and talking about
when Harry met Sally.
I was going to say it's the reverse when Harry met Sally. And I do love that movie. Oh my God, it's so good. We see Elizabeth writing a note to Charles and Diana, because everyone has decided that it is best for them to get a divorce. Diana's crying at the note. There's the claw hand. And Diana goes to a therapist.
And you see Brits in wigs.
In the courtroom, yeah.
Yeah. But she's crying. People have started to turn against her after her interview. Her staff and her doctor boyfriend have left her. It feels so final. What did you think you were doing here?
I think I agree, but I think that another aspect is that it is something ending, finally ending, and it must feel weird, especially with their lives being so intertwined, especially as public images or public figures anyway, and how that's going to change after the divorce. It must be scary.
Yeah.
And so basically Charles has his lawyers talk to him about Diana's demands. That she wants to stay in Kensington. She wants the office in St. James, and she wants £35 million basically.
Yeah. And it's there's paparazzi obviously after Diana, which there's a therapist, but there's paparazzi after Camilla.
You knew what you were getting into.
Exactly.
And she's like, I can't leave the house and I can't walk the dogs. I'm
Diana's had that for a decade now. I mean, it's insane.
Even before they got married, she had that. And I don't know why this is news. And she's complaining to Charles about it over the phone. And yes, that is annoying, having people constantly try to poke into your private life and try to just follow you and harass you and all that stuff. That sucks. but you knew what you were getting into when you became involved with Charles, and he's the Prince of Wales. Like, that's gonna happen,
right? So there are a couple of things that I skipped too, like that when Charles is talking to the lawyers, they tell him if Diana does not get what she wants, she's not going to consent to the divorce, and it's basically gonna be 2 more years of dragging this through the courts, and it's gonna get it up really ugly, and
she wants what
and
she
they
wants.
Well, right, and they point out, like, they don't actually say it, but everybody knows, it's like, you're at fault in mm-hmm. this, so
it's all your fault.
Yeah, this is on you, and if things go south,
and if we're being completely honest, it really is, because yeah, if sure. he hadn't had that whole thing with Camilla, they could have at least tried to make it work, and if it didn't work out, that's whatever, but like, if he hadn't had that like 3 in a marriage thing, that she would have probably put more effort in. She wouldn't have, well, okay, she wouldn't have had the affairs because of him.
Right.
In that
right.
sense.
Right. We don't
he
know.
Said the president in their marriage that it was not going to be successful. He started that.
Right.
He like went into it being like, yeah, this is not going
to
work.
I don't even want this to work.
Exactly. You were out to sabotage yourself. So, I mean, it's just like,
right.
Oh, well.
So yeah, Charles though, like, helps Camilla and sends her to basically this spin doctor whose name I don't remember, Mark something. But I love that he does that for her. Won't do any of that kind of thing for Diana.
He never did that for Diana.
He never did anything for her because he's a shithead and an asshole.
Yeah.
So
Diana got more of it.
Yeah.
She was caught like I find it interesting because whenever she started, like when they got engaged, it was the queen and the private secretaries and such that were suggesting that she move into the palace for her own safety.
Right.
It wasn't Charles being like, hey, let's keep her safe. It was, all right, yeah, we should keep her
good
safe
luck.
For him.
Yeah.
While he's off on his 8-week tour and fucking Camilla. And then Elizabeth wants the prime minister to be the mediator between Charles and Diana, which is like, what? That's a ridiculous.
That's really awkward.
It's super awkward. I find it funny because it's John Major and I like him, but I think for the yeah. character and the actor, I like him as a whatever. But I think that it's so bizarre to ask that of
sure.
a prime minister.
Person.
Ask yeah. like the, but obviously like you have to have a, like a neutral third party.
He suggests people too.
Yeah.
But he is actually honored. And what she says is that I want you to broker this peace because you did such a great job with Northern Ireland, which is true.
Yeah. They don't cover that really.
No, we aren't doing politics. This is
when
you
mentioned that, I was like, oh yeah, that happened. When?
Yeah, we're not even going to hear about that, but we hear about all kinds of shit with Margaret Thatcher. Why? Because of the agenda of the Shermers. He's flattered and he's telling his wife about it, and his wife is kind of upset. You can tell. It's like,
she's like, I'm going to go visit the kids and you're going to be here mediating a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, what
well,
the hell?
Among the 10,000 other things that you do. I noticed one thing too, that Major's wife has Diana's hairstyle.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then there's another divorcing couple.
More other couples showing how common destructive divorce is.
What you?
That's my note.
Okay. And then Camilla meets with the spin doctor person. The spin doctor says he has sympathy for them. And she says either she stops her relationship or she goes for it and tried for legitimation as his wife.
I have giant all caps, don't care.
I'm like, I don't know why. Obviously, they're trying to do the whole thing, like see both sides of like, oh, well, Camilla's going through a lot too. No, this is not like the same.
No.
I 100,000% I feel worse for Diana.
Way.
Because what the fuck? Like, she was married. She knew she was conducting this affair within her own marriage and within another person's marriage.
Yeah.
You knew that you were leading to self-destruction and now you're complaining about, oh, I'm in love with him,
but
look at what I've lost.
I, yeah. I mean, she's like,
I can't never
say
considered.
The queen word. I mean, it's like a bullshit.
I can't say that I would be queen. I'm like, whatever. And then
she has a discussion with Charles. Charles is like, the big question is, does your partner make you laugh? Or do they make you, oh, no, someone could be listening.
Oh, God.
Vomit. I mean, like, you've said it all already. Like, everyone knows.
And then Prime Minister talks to Charles about how her getting a lot up front can ensure her independence from the family and can make her a little bit less reliant on anything in the future, which is possible. And I think he wants to just, like, broker the peace anyway. But I think
he's doing a good job of it.
Oh, he's doing a great job. I think that's a valid idea. I think that her getting a lot up front is more for like just
shutting her up. Right. And Charles is like, look, I'm willing to give money, but you've got to stop talking about, you know, me and the monarchy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Then the prime minister talks to Diana about how Charles is offering to keep a lot to keep her from making public statements about the marriage or monarchy in a damaging way, which is what you said. But then Charles and Camilla meet with the spin doctor. He tells Charles to be the complete opposite of Diana, but more stable and mature about the situation.
Which, you know, everyone has been telling him for, I don't know, decades ever at this point. Anne's been telling him that
you need to be the mature one in this relationship, like, and act calmly.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that was true when they were trying to fix the marriage in the first place, and that should have helped.
Right. And one of the things that I hated about the inconsistency with that episode where Anne's sympathizing with him about the transcript is she's like, well, it's kind of sweet to see these, you know, teenagers of whatever age in love. It's like, no.
I don't care. Like, if you had the chance to get married, obviously the family probably had something to do with her getting married to Andrew, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't have stopped that. Right. Camilla easily could have stopped that by saying, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And if it mattered that much, you would have gone through with it. Anyway, then there's the next divorced couple. My dad mentioned something at this point where they have the same kind of troubles as Diana and Charles, like the divorced couples that are talking, like, you're too distant. You're working too much. You're busy. You never help me with the children. You can...
Yeah, we never or you're always running around and there's one with a dentist and his hygienist who get married and he wants kids. And she's like, we never talked about kids. And she starts like going out to the clubs and he's staying up, like trying to figure out what's going on with her. And she's like, oh, you're so controlling. And
you're
terrible.
Policing me. And like, she also mentions he's going through her stuff and going through her texts and
there's a difference between people who are dating people who are married to.
Yes, that's true. But I think that, and that's another element, but I think that this lack of privacy, but also lack of trust because of privacy is.
Well, there's a lack of trust because, what is she doing? Right.
I don't know. And then Charles finally, like their broker piece by Charles offering $17 million and $400,000 per year. And it's agreed upon that that's the amount they're going to go with. She's going to still, it's enough to like have her maintain her offices and it's a stipend. So, I mean, you're just going to whatever. And then Elizabeth is crying about it. And I'm like, okay.
They arrange the money. She arranges the money.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it's good for the boys. And she tries to get Charles to admit it's not easy on Diana.
I think that's important. She has a phone call with Charles and she's just like, so how do you feel? And he's like, I mean, I don't feel relief. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. And I think that it's interesting that they go with that because I mean, it is something ending, but I feel like he does feel relief. So entirely true, but I think that Elizabeth bringing up, hey, you realize that whatever you're feeling, Diana is probably feeling tenfold about like this entire situation because she has more to lose.
Right.
And so I think that that's important as well. And there's another tub scene where there's a dramatic tub scene.
There's no whiskey and no dogs.
And then Charles dance. And then Charles visits Diana. And I
don't know.
I actually really like this like little part right here where she sees him and I was thinking it's Dr. Guy and then he comes up and I was like, oh wait, it's Charles. And then she checks herself in the mirror to make herself look put together. And I said out loud, it's like, girl, we've seen you worse. Everyone's seen you worse. It's fine. Don't worry. And I was like, oh no, it's Charles. You do want to look a little bit put together for this. Because you want to act like divorce is like working with you.
Right. And she even says, I would have put on a revenge dress if I knew you were coming.
But she also, there's this really cute, I like this shot like with through the like opaque glass. It's kind of similar to what they did with the fern or the plant or whatever when they first met. Like when they're just kind of looking at him and you can't quite see her.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't think about it until now, but I think it's very similar. But I really like that shot. It's a pretty well shot.
Yeah, no, that is a good shot. This whole sequence, though, is, and I put in all caps later on, fantasy conversation.
But I like
it. Bored. I got bored.
Oh, I like it, actually.
Super bored. Okay, then you talk about it for a while.
Okay, sure, fine. It is a fantasy conversation. We want to think that they probably had a conversation similar-ish to this, but you never know. But he comes in and he's like, I really don't know why I'm here. And she's like, well, I would have put on a revenge dress if I had known. And they laugh and whatever. He calls her beautiful when she's all natural. And she's like, oh, well, I blush infuriatingly only for you when you like gave me compliments and said nice things. And he's like, well, I guess I just didn't say nice things enough. And it's just like, yep, we all agree. You didn't. You really didn't. And I think it's interesting because she was obviously so young when they were together,
yeah,
or when they had first gotten together anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that whole childish blushing thing and that whole thing where she's like, now it's almost a reflex. Whenever you say something kind to me, I'm going to blush because that's just how I've learned to respond to kindness from you. And I don't, and again, she doesn't do it enough. And that's because you've never really had much nice thing to say.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, well, now you have all you want. You have Camilla. She's available now. And I think she's available now. They never really made it clear, but I'm fairly certain she's divorced at this point. And all that stuff. And he says, no man whose marriage has failed will ever get everything he wants. And I'm just like,
bullshit.
And I said, but you are, though. You are getting everything you want. You want her out of the way so you can be with Camilla.
And
you want
to be with the first place. Heirs. You're good.
Yeah, you have heirs who everyone loves. And
well,
they're doing great.
They are, you know, straight down the line, like completely legit. This isn't like,
absolutely,
you married Camilla
and
have some messy
and
thing
her have
kids.
A baby and all that stuff. It's not like that. It's like, if you were married, you have the children, but mm-hmm. you get to be with who you want to be with in the end. And then he mentions the doctor Boyce, but she's like, well, I scared him off, so that's not really working out for me either.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, that's really depressing for you. Because he has somebody lined up, but you don't. That sucks. And then Charles, she's like, well, Charles is eating like some nuts that were just out. And he's just like, oh my God, these are horrible. And then
right.
she's like, yeah, no, those have been there for months. And right. I kind of like that, actually. That's really funny because it's just like normal conversation.
Right. They're having this very amicable, very normal kind of conversation. But again, I think it's probably a fantasy. But then
well,
she
yeah.
goes to make eggs.
Well, no. This part's actually kind of funny because she's just like, she's like, are you hungry? And he's just like, yeah, I am actually pretty hungry. And it's like, well, the staff's not here. So I guess I can make you something or something like that. And he's just like, okay. And she's like, do you remember where the kitchen is? And then
he's
just
like,
I lived here happily for 5 years. And he starts walking in one direction. And she's like, no, it's the other way. And then he's just like, and she's like, and you did not live here happily. And then they go and
like,
just,
maybe 1 year. Not
yeah.
Five.
Yeah. I was like, let's be charitable and give it 1 year. And then there's this funny part where they're like talking and then she's just like, but we're divorced now, who cares? I found that really funny. I just wrote ha. And then she makes them she's trying to make an omelet, but she ends up making scrambled eggs instead.
Yeah, I don't know how to do the flipping of an omelet.
It's hard. I think I've tried and failed.
It's embarrassing.
And then they're eating the scrambled eggs and they're like having a nice moment where it's like, well, I can't believe we never tried any of this, like us like cooking or whatever and eating in the kitchen and just like hanging out like normal people. And she's just like, well, we just never tried, like you never tried either. So, and then
we're not here.
Yeah. And they talk about how they could have done what they could have done differently.
Right. This sounds like a normal adult conversation, the kind of regrets that, you know, divorcing couple
the thing
make.
Is I like this scene in the context of the show. I don't think it actually happened, but I think that it is a nice conversation to have for these characters.
Well, but this is, you know, among the things that are supposedly said here, there's, you know, let's review the marriage,
let's give it an autopsy.
So no judgment, no arguments. Both of them say they're sorry, but then Charles like, well, I hope you know there was always love there.
And respect.
And Diana says respect. In a sense, we were a perfect match, but there was not perfect love because you were already fully in love with
Camilla.
With her. And he's like, oh, use Camilla's name.
Can you do me a favor? Can you use her name? And she's like, Camilla.
Right. And then it just devolves into this ugly.
Well, okay. Let me
childish
go.
Crap.
Let me go through some stuff because they talk about how she was shy and how he was just like, well, yeah, you were just so shy, and I brought company to bring you out of your shell a little bit. And she's like, but it was company for you, not for me. That's not good. I don't think you could have taken me out of my shell at all. And then he's just all, she apologized for the attention she got and how he felt like it was an attack on him. Because I'm sure initially at some point it wasn't supposed to be meant as an attack, but once it got that kind of connotation.
It's her opinion about whether he would have been will be a good monarch, basically.
I was talking about the attention she got just in general.
Oh yeah.
Like, especially like Australia trip. Like, she wasn't always making it out to be like an attack on him. And right. She apologizes for it to him, like, if at least initially it felt like that.
Right.
And then I'm sure at some point it was more of an attack because of like the revenge dress, you have the interview, all that stuff, but like still. And then they mentioned the age gap and she's like, yeah, no, I was like, you were never young. Like, I was the young one. And
right.
Like,
he starts to feel hurt.
And she's like, no, I'm sorry, that came out wrong, all that stuff. And then he asked for the favor to mention Camilla by name. And then she says, well, I never stood a chance. And then he says, neither could Camilla. I'm like, we do not need to go into that.
And Why?
Then they discuss the interview and not being suited to be king. And they start to fight. And she's like, no, listen, I was just saying that you couldn't, when you were put into that position, you can't do everything you want to do. That's what I was trying to say. And you want to do all these great big things, and it's not always going to be possible given that role.
Right.
And she tries to explain, and he's just like, no, listen, that's not what you meant. He says he's miserable because he would probably be miserable in the role or something. And I think she says something along those lines. And he says, no, I'm miserable because I spent years rotting in a marriage to someone trying to destroy me. I was like, that is not the way this conversation needs to go.
It goes into these petty, childish things, and it's Charles that takes it in.
Well, yeah, she also says, well, I married you because I loved you, or I thought I loved you. And then he's like, I married you because I had no choice. And I was like, ooh, dude, no.
There's always love there, really.
Or in respect?
No.
Yeah. And then she says people will prefer to see William as king. And then he basically leaves the conversation liberated, and that only now that she's out of the way, they can be happy.
Right, but one of the things, you know, that he's like, oh, well, you're just so popular and blah, blah, blah. And Diana says, my popularity has gone to William.
Yeah,
he's going to be fine, but you are going to struggle. And, you know, good for her.
Honestly, true. And good for her.
Again, I think it's a fancy conversation. But
it absolutely
after
is.
He leaves, Diana's just destroyed. I mean, she's just...
I think the actress does a great job.
She does.
I breaking agree. Down. She's right. just like, what the hell was that? And it's like, that was going Which so is, well.
No, it's a very honest portrayal of what happens in very ugly...
And how things can shift very quickly when certain things come up.
Right. I mean, just the hurt can take things in weird directions.
Absolutely.
And she even talks about that, a lot of what started happening was her just reacting out of hurt or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that she's very reactive, which is true.
Yes.
But the court rubber stamps their divorce. And
they're officially divorced, and we see flashbacks of their wedding. And there's an awkward like ending of like you see this one girl next to the statue outside of Buckingham Palace. I'm like, why is that the ending shot? And I kind of wish we got a little bit closer. And imagine if they got like Emma Corrin and Josh O'Connor back for like just brief carriage scenes or something.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it ended, and this is just in my fantasy world, how it would end is like having Emma Corrin and Josh O'Connor back in those costumes, like in the carriage, and they like are passing everybody, and then they like go to like a more like secluded street and their smiles just vanish. Kind of similar to when Elizabeth and Philip were in Australia and they were just worked to the bone and they were just tired and they couldn't stop smiling and then they just fade.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I think that would have been a good way to end it.
There are a lot of possible things. I mean, they could have just left it as, it almost looked like, I think it was actual footage of the crowds at the wedding, which it was extraordinary. And it's part of when Elizabeth is talking about.
When she's crying, yeah.
When she's crying about, you know, this is one of the most celebrated marriages in the world, and it just ends like this, and it's so sad. And I agree. I mean, it is a terribly sad thing. So what were your best points?
I had a couple. The framing device, I think, is pretty good. I like the reverse When Harry Met Sally, kind of. I liked that they're showing how, like, kind of dissecting marriages in a way, and how a little bit of miscommunication or just little things can get into the, like, can, like, spiral into huge things. And obviously, it's very different with Diana and Charles.
And with the magnification, like, on it, sure.
Yeah, and also with him going into the marriage with the self-destruct button that is Camilla. And she basically is the self-destruct button. And
none of those couples, by the way, had that.
They didn't have that element. And I think that's one of the, I liked that almost, that they didn't have that self-destruct button, because it sets them apart in a way. And then also, Diana, I like the Diana and Charles scene a lot. I think the actors do a great job. I think that, I know it's definitely extrapolation. I highly doubt that this kind of conversation happened. And if it did, it probably was not the same. And I think, but I do like that conversation that they had that, because it's kind of this, I think we're going to be, like, diverging at this point, because at least kind of similar to Terra Nullius, where they're in Australia and they have that conversation about, like, being more healthy in their relationship. I loved that scene, and I love this scene because it's kind of similar to that, of, like, dissecting their marriage. But, and obviously I think that I think it was a good idea to have those characters, and I'm talking about the characters, not the actual people.
Sure.
It was a great idea to have those characters have that conversation. And I think, I just think it's important for that to be addressed in a way, because we have not seen them together a lot, except for at the very beginning of the season.
Right.
And I think it was a good idea to have them have one last scene together before they are split forever. So whatever. And then also, yay, they get divorced. What about you?
The actress who plays Diana, I think
she does a fantastic great
performance
job
in this episode. I think it really was exceptional. The flashback to the wedding. And
oh yeah,
this is, you know, something that I grew up with, so it's, you know, very much.
When I saw those crowds, I was like, dang.
Oh yeah, no, it was amazing. And they had some of that for William and Harry, but I think William and Kate.
Okay, that's the point of reference I have.
Right, but that was in March, which is colder, whereas this wedding was in July. Mm-hmm. And, like, you got summer crowds, you've got all the things. It was huge. In many, many respects. And so that was an extraordinary event. But I feel like, you know, the When Harry Met Sally thing, and I'll talk about it. That was actually one of my worst parts for this. So,
oh, okay.
But I felt like, even though there's extrapolation here, I kind of agree with you, to give some finality to this closure. Relationship is important.
But it's not real closure, which I think is a good idea. I think that if they had just had a civil conversation, it wouldn't have had the same effect, because I think that them ending on those terms.
It's a very real divorce person conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're trying to be adults, but we just don't know how, because we're fucking children.
Yes.
And that's the reality of it, is, like, they aren't ever able to just say, I'm sorry, and leave it as I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry, but.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting. And I love the way it's, like, done. I think that it's interesting with Charles hearing Diana's perspective, because you never get the idea that they asked for each other's perspectives on things. Mm-hmm. And him, like, the conversation about, like, how she was very shy, and so he brought people in, but she was like, those people were for you. I didn't want that. That's not how to bring me out of my shell. And I think that miscommunication shed a lot of light for him, and it's like, oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but she said stuff like that before. I mean, I think this, some of it was recycled.
Oh, it definitely was.
And again, they can only do so much with the material they actually have. And again, that's kind of, you know, I'm just not. I didn't feel much smarter at the end of this episode. So, what were your worst points?
Charles and Camilla, and the sympathy for Camilla in general. I think that. I understand why they're trying to, because, I mean, they do, spoiler alert, Charles and Camilla are married, and so that does happen, but I can understand why they're probably trying to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt to Camilla, but I don't care about Camilla because she is honestly in like the best position she could be in because the
for having done nothing good.
And think about the fact that she was in a like kind of a happy enough marriage. She had children. Oh my God, why do I say it like that? Children. And she, don't look at me like that. Yes, I said something weird. We're moving on. But she had children. She had a husband who, whatever.
Cared for her enough. In his own fucked up way, but whatever.
They had a weird relationship before they got married. So it kind of just translated that to their marriage. But even if he was like fucking around, she's fucking around too. But she has one of the most influential and famous people, the Prince of Wales, like at her, like on at her leash. Feet.
On the leash.
Her little bitch. Mm-hmm. And he is unequivocally in love with her.
And was from the beginning
and still is after 17 years of marriage to someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be changing anytime soon. And so, she was mostly just waiting for the other ball to drop.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, all right, well, now I'm going to get out of my marriage and you're going to get out of your marriage and then we're going to be happy. So I'm just going to be happy regardless. And yes, the paparazzi are annoying. It's a part of life as a royal. Like, yeah, it's not going to change for you. If you want a taste of what life as a royal is, you're getting a little bit of a taste now. And Diana had it 20 million times worse, and you will see that in the future.
Right, right. But and I will say this too, and it's going to sound terrible, so I'm saying anyway, with Camilla, people were after Diana's pictures because she was so beautiful too. I mean, she just, you know, I think that accentuates everything. It's like, you know, what we see with celebrities here in the US is that, you know, the paparazzi want to see you when you're down, they want to see you when you're ugly, they want to see you when you're upset, they want to see the flaws. And it's that much more pronounced when you are a beautiful person, as opposed to, you know, Camilla, who, you know, she goes hunting, she gets dirty, you know,
she has more of a private life.
Yeah, yeah.
But
my worst part was Charles being a dick.
Okay.
And again, you know, I agree with you about the Camilla part. Like, just like, I don't give. There were several points where I had all caps. I don't give a fuck. I just don't care.
I don't want to salvage her.
I don't want, you know, you can do all of the spin doctoring you want to do. We all know what happened.
We all know that you are the one that benefits the most from this situation, yes, regardless of what you say or pity party.
You benefit for no good reason.
I mean, you're just a horrible person.
Yeah.
And so is Charles. So you're meant to be great. Good luck.
Right. Have fun in your marriage. And now you're a king and queen consort. Good for you.
Congratulations.
But yeah, so that, and I didn't like the When Harry Met Sally construct. I think, again, maybe the idea is, oh, this is the modern world and people get divorced all the time, and you know, they kept calling the dockets in court, and the dockets, the court just rubber stamped most of these, all of them that we saw. They were all consent decrees, and you see, like, it's docket number 90, you know, 96 whatever of 5025 or whatever. So, you know, it is an enormous, oh, it's just very common, people divorce, whatever, this is how life is. But I'm kind of, and I'm old school, I'm in the Elizabeth camp. It's like, we're acting like these marriages meant nothing.
Well, I'm not saying that I liked it because it was just bad, but I think that it's interesting to see how just such a little thing, such as like taking more shifts at work to provide for your family, can snowball into, I'm taking the kids to my father's house.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was interesting seeing it that way, because it can be such a small thing that could be discussed and could be communicated. If you communicate effectively and have trust with your partner and you are on the same page, it doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to have that mistrust with everybody. Like with the dentist and the hygienist, it's kind of like, you don't have to fear that she's going out and with other guys. You should have communicated that you wanted children earlier on in your relationship, and definitely before you got married. But I think that it's, again, with the communication, I think it's more stressing the importance of these little things that may not seem that big to you at the time can snowball into something so bad that you can't recover from it, and you are ending your relationship with this person for good.
Right. Well, and these whirlwind romances too. I mean, the dentist and hygienist, like, It didn't take long.
She also was like, oh yeah, I felt like I was proving it to my mother that I could have a working relationship. And I'm like, that's not the reason. I said out loud, that's not the reason to get engaged.
Right.
Just mother wrong.
Right. Exactly. You don't do it for anyone other than yourself and the person that you choose to marry.
If you want to spend your life with this person and you love this person, a doubt, yes, go ahead, go through with this marriage. Obviously things can arise from that, but still, I think that as long as you feel like you can work through the big problems of life, which there are many,
yes,
like if you can work through them with that person, perfect, great, you're gonna work out. But I think that, again, I think it was more proving that small things can add up. And obviously, like, it's different from Charles and Diana in that they had a huge thing going into it and throughout it that was never going to go away, and he barely tried to make it go away.
He didn't try at all to make Camilla go away. He didn't answer her call once.
Yeah, no, I don't think.
Ooh, boy, wow.
He showed her, but I think that it's interesting that I think I liked it because it just showed how, like, little things can add up. And
yeah, I mean, and I guess, again, I'm looking at it with a much broader life experience, and so
I've never been divorced. I've never had a relationship. Congratulations, you have not. And I've never been in this situation. I've not had any relationship, really. So I think that I'm obviously coming from it from a very different point of view. I come from a very happy household, so I don't think I don't have that cynical point of view of like, oh yeah, all marriages fail. So I don't want you to think that I'm trying to, like, the point you have about, like, oh yeah, they're just throwing it away, whatever. I mean, my point is, you should know what you're getting into when you marry somebody. Yes. And if you don't go into it for the right reasons, if you don't completely trust the person that you're with, if there are things that you need to be aware, like, there again with like the person who was working late to have finances for their family, it was more because he wasn't really letting her in on like the finances of the family, of like how much he needs these extra shifts and all that stuff. It's like those little miscommunications of you think you're like helping but you're not. And I like the dissection of those kinds of relationships in contrast to this one was just not going to work. Whereas, like, they could have made it work if they, like, had communicated better.
Right. Whereas, you know, this Diana and Charles relationship only could have worked if Charles actually wanted to get rid of Camilla, which he did not.
Yes.
So how did you grade this episode?
You're not going to agree with me, but I gave it a B. You don't. I know. I think it was definitely one of the better ones of the season, if I'm being honest. I think that I think it's like second best of the season as far as my grading is concerned, because the next one's definitely not. But I think that I love the performances. I like the framing device. I think that even though it's a fantasy conversation, it works very well. And I don't know, I just really like it. I think them finally putting a close, like just ending the story of them as a couple here, it makes sense. I think it should have happened mid-season, but sure. But I think that them finally just putting everything, like tying it up with a ribbon and just kind of being like, all right, yeah, now it's done. They have their non-closure, whatever. And we're moving on to a different chapter of these people's lives, one of which does not last that long, but we will talk about that in a second. But yeah, I would give it a B. What about you?
I gave it a C minus D. And the reason,
not even a D plus, like C minus D plus. It's okay, like a many letter grades apart.
We can call it D. I don't care. And I think that that's my assessment of this episode. I don't care. I think a lot of it, like I said, I feel like it's an extrapolation.
No, it definitely is.
I understand your point. And I think from a, and at your age, 100%, I would be like all about like the romance and you want closure for the relationship because the relationship.
Oh, they don't get closure.
Right. But what I mean is that you want some of the issues talked about, you want them addressed. You want to understand what the fuck is actually at issue here.
I just feel like if they were going to extrapolate about anything, I feel like they could, it was a good idea to do that for these two characters that they have developed.
Well, and they've spent a lot of time on.
Yes.
So yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. And again, I feel like the actress playing Diana gave a good performance. I just don't fucking care.
Okay.
Sure. And I don't think I learned anything.
But I don't think you really needed to learn anything. I think you're just learning that they divorced.
Well, but again, I think you got some perspective on divorces and everything else. That for me is not something is new information. So for me, it's kind of like, okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to season 5, episode 10, Decommissioned. We start out with Dodie, for whatever reason, talking
on the phone with Daddy
to Mohammed about life in LA and how he's dating an actress.
Can I just say, I don't give a flying fuck about any of this Dodie storyline.
I agree. Let's move on. He tells Mohammed that they're coming to London for him to meet her, to meet the actress or whatever. And they're trying to buy this $10 million house for whatever reason and in Malibu or something. And then there is a TV poll to vote yes or no for the monarchy. And Diana dials the no number multiple times for whatever reason. And yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like that.
That's a long montage of nothing.
And then, super long, then, super painful.
Then Elizabeth, it's her birthday. And they have a party. Andrew shows Charles up with his gift of like the trout that like, or the whatever.
The singing bass. The bass or whatever. Yeah.
That like sings.
The mounted bass.
But, and I love Dominic West's like facial expressions during that scene.
Right,
it's
because
so funny.
Charles like gave a painting to, you know, like some meaningful
place.
Yeah, landscape, whatever, to the queen. And immediately after that, there's a singing bass and everybody enjoys that one.
Mm-hmm. Edward has appeared and at the dinner table.
Edward.
Charles is being sent to Hong Kong for the liberation of Hong Kong. It's basically just, it's becoming part of China.
Right. It's not liberation at all.
It's not liberation.
And there's a discussion about the fact that Tony Blair is about to be elected PM because the Conservatives are going to be out and the Labour Party is going to be in.
Mm-hmm. And then Dodie and the actress are getting hot and heavy on the plane and I don't care. Dodie has drugs.
They read lines and then he does lines.
Charles is going to combine the Hong Kong trip with the holiday with Camilla and make it Britannia's last voyage. He wants to make an alliance with Tony Blair, the new potential PM, and they're going to have a meeting. But they should probably wait until
his
after.
New private secretary is the spin doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yay.
And then Mohammed doesn't approve of the actress. Dodie wants to buy the $10 million house, and he says he'll pay his debt back with another Oscar, but he hasn't.
Can I say this? I did make a note here. Other than all caps board, which I put in there. Mm. Do we need another fucked up family drama in our fucked up family drama? Question mark.
No. Tony Blair has been elected prime minister. I'm sad the prime minister is leaving. He was fun. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth thanks the old prime minister for his work. The Labour Party is decommissioning the royal yacht, and the old prime minister feels bad about that. The new prime minister is young, also known as 43. And
hey, that's young for a PM.
Young for a PM, yes. And the old PM welcomes the new PM, and he says he left a note on his desk that says it's a great job, enjoy it. I love the old PM.
Yeah, and there's John Major,
we love
all
you.
The respect, man.
All the respect for the character. I don't know the guy.
I get the sense that some of this is well documented. Like I said, we would see him on TV periodically. And cool. And I will say this, Tony Blair, as things progressed politically, you would see him on TV as well. And he was, I liked him too.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
They make him look a little like Hugh Grant from Love Actually.
A little bit, yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know what I think about that.
Okay. Yeah, and then new PM suggests a new yacht paid for by private finance and lease it when needed.
Charles thinks that's great.
Yeah, and nobody else thinks, and they're going to be calling it New Britain, and Charles likes it, but no one else does, because it was the campaign slogan of the new prime minister.
Yeah.
And they decided to retire the royal yacht after the Hong Kong trip. Charles is going to be in business class when going to Hong Kong. And I don't know why.
Camilla's like, oh, you'll have to be very brave, darling. It's like, oh my God.
You I think she's being sarcastic, but I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt there. And then Dodie bought the house, and I don't care. And there's a weird relationship with the young model and Mohammed, and I don't like seeing it at all.
Well, no, hang on. So he's married to her. That's
yeah, I know, the relationship in general. Yeah, I hate.
Oh no, I hate all
that.
It's awkward
and weird, and they kiss. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but you're going back to like Blair's wife is actually in first class with all the politicians, and Charles isn't. Which again,
it's so bizarre. You'd think that he would fly separately in general. Yeah,
exactly. So whatever.
Like they made a whole statement about Margaret, Tony, or whatever, going to. Was it Tony? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was Tony. Mm-hmm. And again, I completely forgot their names.
Yeah.
Them going to. America like on a commercial flight,
yeah,
and I'm just like, okay, so now it's just normal, okay, sure,
they don't have Air Force One,
but I think they have like they can get a probably plane to him,
I'm sure,
but
yeah,
I just think it's odd that they don't do that for the air,
right? But I will say this too, that the dad and the wife are talking about Dodie, and I agree with you that like there's it's super
I don't
awkward.
Like seeing it, it's weird.
And again, I'm bored.
Yeah,
Diana
is that Swan Lake.
Yeah,
I love
Swan
Lake.
Being goose lamp.
That means nothing to anybody but us.
No. If you watch Aaron and Joe and their review
on
of
YouTube.
Barbie in Swan Lake.
I was a Barbie kid. I watched. Okay, let me explain a little bit. I was a Barbie kid. I forced everyone to watch Barbie all the time in the house. And so like, okay, but it was like the early Barbie movies, not really the new shit. But like, I don't really do that. I don't mess with the new shit because I don't care. But I had a lot of nostalgia for those. And one day when I was looking on YouTube, I saw that these two guys around my age actually were watching Barbie movies. And they're just like the bro guys, like bra kind of thing. Like you wouldn't expect them to watch Barbie.
No.
And
they don't expect themselves to watch
Barbie. Yeah, no, but they watched, I think they started with Princess and the Pauper. And I found that them watching
very
Barbie
funny.
Movies is very, very funny.
It's much like your brother watching Barbie.
Yes. And so when they did Swan Lake, they brought up Goose Lamp. And
which is basically one of those like.
It's just a picture
lights.
Of a goose lamp, but it's like hunched forward goose. And
yeah,
so.
It's a very long neck.
Yes. And so. So as soon as I looked at that, I was like, Goose Lamp.
Yes, indeed. Goose Lamp.
But anyway, moving on. Then. Then Mohammed sees her across the way in her the royal box or whatever, mm-hmm. and they want to talk, and so they talk afterwards, and it's just like, hey, come have dinner with us, and it's like, okay, sure, and they're harassed by paparazzi in the car, which is very
and at the restaurant
and
bizarre.
At the restaurant, and then Mohammed invites Diana to Saint-Tropez with because Camilla's having her 50th birthday and wanted to do a whole to-do about that, and she's not want to be a part of that at all, understandable, or even associated with that. So she's
right,
like, all
right, she's
yeah.
got the kids for the summer, and she
yes.
wants to do something fun with them, and she thinks it's going to get disapproved. She wanted to go to America with them. She's been told no. But they're like, oh, come to Saint-Tropez. We got a yacht. We can go boating. It'll be fun. Blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, okay, sure. And then Charles goes to Hong Kong and makes
Hong
a
Kong montage.
And Charles and the prime minister meet. The prime minister feels bad for decommissioning the yacht. But Charles is like, really? I don't.
Yeah, no, Charles got rained on in Hong Kong. And,
yeah, that's
and
probably
little
a little
kids
bit later.
And far worse than that. Like, you know, the
there were
kids,
children.
Poor children with no umbrellas getting rained on.
Whatever. They were part of the crown, so who cares? And Charles says he thinks that the royals need a renovation. And the prime minister is sympathetic to Charles because he's just like, oh yeah, he's in that position with a lot of these big ideas and he can't really do anything about it. But
well, one of Charles's big things in talking to the PM is he's trying to pitch, I need to get remarried. Liam, we need everybody to approve that.
We have to look at this like a new Britain, and to like, mm-hmm. and to do that, we have to allow for remarriages, including
blah, blah, blah.
Even though Anna's already gotten remarried. So, I mean, it's just not like revolutionary just because he's, I guess it's just because he's the heir, but still.
Well, also because he's head of the church.
Well, eventually going to be head of the church. Right. Not yet.
But, you know, he talks about how the advisors of the queen are tone deaf and they aren't keeping up with the times. And
they had this conversation like season something or other, too.
Yeah, right. It keeps recycling the same conversation.
It was when Martin was going to be the private secretary, but they thought Martin was going to be the private secretary, but then it wasn't. Whatever. But it made sense there.
Right. So Charles is thinking that he's making headway with the PM. Charles and Camilla are giggling on Britannia during this little vacation.
Diana asked for permission.
We watched TV with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is told about Diana's plans to go
on holiday to France with the boys. France,
and she's like, she hasn't, you know, I can't really have an objection because this is how people, you know, claim to be parenting.
Well, this is her year to be with the boys.
And she's like, this is how they parent these days. So, okay. And then Charles, she's told about Charles having taken Britannia. And having Tony Blair on there and having like a private meeting kind of thing with his friends.
And Elizabeth wants to meet with Charles and have a private farewell to Britannia.
So we have a walking montage.
Well, yeah. And then she meets with Charles and talks about him and Camilla. He's worried that the monarchy is failing to move with the times. Then I don't have any notes. Right, I was going to just stop writing notes because at this point I was checking the progress bar because I was just so bored.
Right. So Elizabeth points out that Charles is a divorced man whose wife is still alive. And that's a big point when you are the head of the church, because the church family does not believe that you can remarry if you are divorced and the spouse is still alive. And you know, Charles says, oh, but Camilla's just been the model of decency this whole time. Like, really?
In what sense?
Are you kidding me? He's like, well, and you know, I think everyone would agree that, you know,
I think the one thing that could change that would potentially make Camilla anywhere near sympathetic is if she wasn't married and just in love with them. But even then, she's busting into somebody else's marriage.
Right. But if she was just some sort, and the thing is, she's not even like some little pauper girl or whatever.
She's she's from a well-off family.
Yeah. I mean, her being a hoe,
her maybe a bit objectionable, but not make her
sympathetic.
Impossible. Right. Impossible, unsympathetic if she had been single. She's
It's not like they objected to her for monetary position, reasons.
Right. It wasn't a position thing. This had to do with character.
And also the fact that she was in love with Andrew.
Right. But the character thing did not improve with the marriage
with age.
And having children. No, it did not. But anyway, Charles is like, oh, you know, I need to like have my job and be whatever. And Elizabeth says something and he's like, well, yeah, I mean, and she's like, and you will at the proper time. He's like, when is that? And he's like, you know what the answer to that is.
You're this is for life. You are not going to stop.
Right, exactly. So Charles is says that he's now aware, having watched Hong Kong just throw off the monarchy, how easy it is to dispose of the monarchy. And he says that the views of the monarchy are Victorian, and he'll be left with nothing because we're not keeping up with the times. And it's, again, an echo, a little bit of Philip. I mean, little bit of that.
When he was, like, televising the coronation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's a fair assessment. I think you should keep up with modern times. But I think that him approaching it in that way is not going to be productive.
Right. So then we have a montage of
her walking around,
turning pages. And
well, yeah,
there are seagulls.
Well, no, there's stamps of Claire Foy and Matt Smith.
Yeah, she has arranged a private goodbye to Britannia. And so she goes and walks through Britannia, and we see her standing and feeling sad. And there's a retrospective. And meanwhile, Diana goes and gets in the Fayez yacht. And Dodie is proposing to
the actress.
Girl. I don't fucking care. And we black out on Elizabeth seeing herself splintered in a mirror.
And a raptor noise. Dad brought that up too.
Yeah, that this could be a crossover with Jurassic Park and be much
It was
better.
Like a screech. It was really funny.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't, whatever. Or maybe there to be a door closing, like a metal, whatever. I don't know. It did not come across that way. It was
across as a raptor.
Right. And all I could say was bored. So did you have a best part for this episode?
Few.
I didn't have any, so you go ahead.
Dominic West's performance at like the dinner or whatever, like him making faces was funny. Then the old prime minister leaving the note, I really liked that. That was really cute.
Okay.
I like John Major, but he's always the best part for me. It's the polar opposite of Margaret Thatcher for me. I just love John Major.
Yeah.
And then Swan Lake. I love the music of Swan Lake. I also love seeing people perform Swan Lake. So I appreciated that. I have very few, but they are very, very specific.
And they are very, very not relevant to the
plot. They aren't, but I appreciated that they did Swan Lake. And Goose Lamp was a great part as well. And seeing Claire Foy and Matt Smith again reminded me of the times. Yeah. And made me want to cry because I wanted to watch their seasons more.
Right, but you know, Swan Lake, it's like when they couldn't bother to have in the subtitles that it was Swan Lake.
It was classical music.
Classical music.
But Swan Lake was a pretty big through line in this season. Like they have Swan Lake in
someone is a black swan here.
Well, no, I think it's also interesting because like in season two when Elizabeth goes and like kind of stalks the ballerina or whatever, she's doing Giselle and it's just like I didn't want to watch her die. And so I'm just like, yeah, sure, fair enough. And then you see the swan being reborn and all that stuff.
La, 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 la.
And that's the goal of that Diana House at this point. But right. Yeah, that's it. What about, so nothing for you?
I had no best parts. How about your worst parts?
Dodie and the actress bullshit. Diana calling in to that poll bullshit. Long and boring. Charles and Camilla. Montages. That's it.
I have, as worst parts, and, you know, because I didn't like really anything in this episode, old is bad, Charles, Dodie, fuck shit. That's what I have as worst parts with this.
Okay.
Because, again, you know, all of it to me, like, you know, Diana calling into the show, all of
it. We didn't need to see that.
Like it even fucking happened. I mean, this is just bullshit in filler and boring. And I just, bleh. What was your grade for this episode?
D.
I give it an F.
Wow.
But
they had Goose Lamp. They had Swan Lake.
This
episode. But I think the only thing that's like saved it for me was John Major.
Well, right. I mean, but again, we got so little John Major, who I would have liked to have seen more of. And we had like a whole fucking season of, you know, Margaret Thatcher. Like,
and again, I think the problem is I thought they were going to end on Diana's death.
I did too.
I thought,
this
is what I expected for season 5. I expected them to cover, obviously, the divorce and stuff because they were leading up to the separation and divorce.
Right.
And that took a while, but
it took way too long.
Well, no, it took a while in real life. That's what I was talking about. But they've been covering like years in like 2 episodes.
Right.
So it's not like an issue. And so I was assuming they were going to get divorced about halfway through the season, maybe like a little bit, but not like in the second to last episode, because I was expecting them to have at least like 2 episodes of Diana, like in Saint-Tropez or like in Italy or whatever, wherever she was in a yacht, like that year, because we did look it up. Well, my dad looked it up, but I was talking about how I was confused because their divorce was finalized in 1996. And then she died 1997, almost like a year and a couple days after their divorce. So yeah. She only had like a year of her life after this, which is so sad to think about.
Really sad.
It's so, so sad. I thought that they were going to end on that. And so, because I thought that they were just going to wrap up Diana in 2 seasons, because right. That would make sense to me. And I think that then, because that's what why I thought they were introducing Dodie. Because you, like, yes, right. It was a stupid-ass episode, but it introduces her as a person, so we don't have to spend too much time later on. So it's just kind of like,
they want to spend time on
it. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, her and Dodie, like, were together and lovers or whatever. And I'm just like, okay, cool. But now they're showing him with an actress, and I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Right, and getting engaged.
And like, getting engaged. God, and I'm like, so this makes it even weirder that they were lovers now.
Right, I mean, there's, and of course, I don't know and did not care about all of her personal drama. She was a celebrated figure. I think she had a lot of meaning, particularly in England, but she was somebody who I felt like had done a lot of good charitable work.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the royals in general as a as something to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when she died, it was terribly sad.
Of course, yeah. The whole world stopped.
Right. But at the same time, it's kind of the ins and outs of why she was with Doty or anything.
Doesn't matter to me.
Had nothing to do with my thoughts.
She was just with Doty. Yeah,
right.
He was in the same car. Like,
I mean, supposedly they were going to get engaged or some kind of bullshit.
Okay, sure, whatever. But that doesn't matter.
And that had nothing to do with why they died, other than the paparazzi just couldn't leave her
alone.
The fuck alone.
Which is just so sad.
It's horrible.
And that's why I'm confused about them having this whole angle of, oh, poor Camilla is being harassed by paparazzi. We already know how this is going to end for Diana.
Yeah.
And how much the paparazzi, like, what a huge part of the paparazzi plays in that.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's only 1 year after their divorce that she only got to live one more year, like, independent from Charles. Like, right. It's not.
And she was so young.
So young. She was 19 when she got married. 17 years later, she's in her like early 30s, like something 30s, and it's like she barely got to live, and she was doing a lot of charity work, and she could have done so much more. Yeah. But the paparazzi couldn't leave well enough alone, which is sad within itself. And I don't know why they're going with the angle of poor Camilla has to deal with the paparazzi. Poor Diana has to deal with paparazzi, and that is not going to change, and that is going to be the cause of her death.
Well, right, and the paparazzi, and we'd seen this theme, obviously, it came
that within itself
Margaret.
Is a metaphor that you can easily harp on. Like, I mean, right. And they will, I'm sure. And I think that's important for them to cover.
Right. And maybe it is just a sense of like, it's ongoing. Like, I'm sure that William and Kate have to deal with it. I'm sure that, you know,
Harry and Meghan
ask for it.
Well, they embrace it.
There are parallels between the Harry and Meghan universe and what's going on with Diana and,
it's a little different. But
it is a little different, but there are elements that have parallels anyway. But it is incredibly sad that there's no privacy. But when you go out and seek that,
and again, when you think about it, again, it's a year after the divorce. She has her own life that she's trying to live, independent of this bullshit. And this wouldn't have happened if she hadn't married Charles.
No.
It's all Charles. Sorry. No. It's the paparazzi's fault. But I think that him bringing, like, her being a part of his life and him bringing in, like, all the paparazzi stuff, all of that caused this. And I think I would like to see them explore that a little bit, because it was interesting when they mentioned, oh, yeah, Charles, how do you feel about the divorce? And he's like, not relief. And I'm like, yeah, you do. But at the same time, I think that it would be an interesting thing to cover of, and they're going to extrapolate about it, but I think that it's interesting to see his reaction to her death.
Well, right. And so
my
original thought had been that this season also would end with Diana's death, because the showrunners did the movie The Queen with Helen Mirren, which is all about the Queen's reaction to Diana's death. So I thought, okay, this is a good end to The Crown, basically. It's like, and then they do the movie. For more information or more of our speculation, whatever, watch the Queen movie and that's it. But I now, if they do a whole season, it's like you can't do a whole season of fucking Doty and Diana.
Well,
I'm not watching that.
What I was thinking and what I brought up when we watched it was that I think that they're going to go with having the first episode be Diana's death. Or at least end with Diana's death in that episode, and then have the next at least one episode about her funeral and about their reactions to it and how that changes things, and then have whatever, and then in the early aughts we do have some other deaths like Margaret and the Queen Mother. They die like a couple weeks apart, which is really sad. I looked it up. And so we have a lot of change in the royal family at that point because of death. And so
it would be interesting to like start out with that. And I swear to fucking God, if they make 1990, the year 1997, a whole fucking season, I swear to God, because nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to watch it. Like, I swear I'm not going to watch it. If it's not like in the first couple episodes, if her death is not in the first couple episodes, I can understand them maybe having a one episode buffer of like, okay, she's in Saint-Tropez. Now she's traveling. Now she's doing yachts and doing charity work. And then she meets Dodie and they hang out and do whatever. And then she dies. That's what I thought was going to be confined to a certain one episode.
Right.
Because you've already like left on the note of she's going to be traveling. So we can already expect that's going to happen. Dodie has broken off his engagement. They hang out and they're doing whatever. And then ends in Paris in that tunnel and all that stuff. And horrible things happen. I don't want to see the entire thing. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of the news broadcasts that happened afterwards.
Yeah.
And then we can end on that, like that moment of them going into the tunnel. And then you can have the next episode be the funeral.
You're getting very detailed with this. But again, this has been very, very covered.
Yes. In the media. And they should cover it.
Of lawsuits about the liability of the paparazzi and the motorcyclists and all of the things. So, you know,
their fault. So,
right. But I mean, there's been a whole lot of, I mean, if you Google it, you'll get all kinds of information.
I'm sure.
I mean, that has been news cycle after news cycle. So
I think my point is if they don't start with that, I'm going to be so upset.
Yeah. If they don't start with that, I'm really,
because they should have ended with it, because that would be the perfect time for having a status quo change at the end of that episode.
Right.
And then for them to go straight into the next season of starting out with the funeral and starting out with all that stuff. But I feel like they're going to do a Charles dance where it's going to be, that's the first episode. That's going to be the big change. And that's going to bleed into the rest.
Whatever. I'm very disengaged right now. I don't think that there is any real fodder for, you know, and because this, I feel like the show has become a regurgitated tabloid fodder show. What are we going to go into? Like, oh, let's, you know, talk about William and Kate. Let's talk about Harry and Meghan.
That's what my concern is.
I really do not want to do that because, you know, that is far.
They should stop at season six.
Well, but even if season six gets into that, I don't want to watch that. I'm not interested in that.
I don't think they should do that much of a time jump. No.
But, you know, I don't know, you know, what they're going to do. You know, Charles and Camilla getting married, no one cares. I mean, it's like,
I certainly don't. Let me look that up. When did they get married?
Whatever, it's fine. It's just I have lost interest in what this show is choosing to portray, and I just am not.
They got married in 2005.
All right,
so there was time in between.
I'm just bored. I am bored with the show. I cannot even construct, like, you know, with Bridgerton, I can construct, oh, it can go a certain way. I did that with Game of Thrones, like, oh, they could do blah, blah, blah.
Oh, we think we all did.
Season eight, season whatever. I mean, based on what you've seen, I can't do that with The Crown. At this point, it is a historically based drama. You know, I know much of the history at this point, because it is my lifetime. And I'm not interested. So
yeah,
they're going to have to really, you know, do something extraordinary.
I think what they could do, if they, as long as they do stop in season six, and if they do a time jump or whatever with William and Kate, I think it should stop at their wedding. I think that that's a big event that could end on a happy note of like, look at into the future. And this is what we see. And we see that there's Charles and Camilla doing whatever the fuck they're doing now. But we have William and Kate. And again, that was in my lifetime. And I remember vividly watching that morning, watching
the wedding.
Yeah. That was great. And her dress, oh my God, if they recreate that dress, I swear, that would be great.
Yeah, Kate looked amazing.
Oh, she looks so good. And they seem like a stable, I don't know.
They seem
the
stable.
Ins and out. They seem very stable. They seem very
solid.
It seems like a Elizabeth and Philip situation where they are going to be a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great idea for the future. And I think that would be a great way to stop of like, look and look to the future. We see something solid, mm-hmm. and we can hope for something solid. Yeah. Even with other people, Andrew, ruining a little bit of the solidness of like the royal family and Harry and Meghan doing whatever the fuck they're doing. And them ruining a little bit more of the solidness, we will still have a solid pair and future coming. Mm-hmm. And we have plenty of heirs. It's a solid foundation for the monarchy in the future. And I mean, good for them. And I think that would be, if they're going to do a time jump, I would prefer they end there on a positive outlook.
Yeah. I'm not engaged at this point, and I would be totally fine probably not watching season six, but
I'll watch season six, but I'll let you know.
In case this is something that we revisit, we would of course appreciate your input. And if you think that this is a better show than we are describing.
Well, this season anyway. I like the rest of the show for the most part.
The first two seasons
in particular
are excellent. But if you are of another mindset, we are willing to listen.
Oh, let's do rankings of the seasons as we know right now. I already know mine.
Yeah.
1, 2, 4, 3, 5.
I guess that's fair. I think 3 and 4 still kind of tied.
For you, yes. But I found 3 a lot more boring. But it did give me Charles and clown makeup. So,
hey.
But again, that
is Josh O'Connor.
Josh O'Connor was good. So good. And again, I love Dominic West, but I don't want to love him as Charles right now.
I mean, I don't love him.
Must resist urge to like him. It's
love him in this role.
But I thought the Diana actress in the end especially did very well. Anyway, we will be covering, hopefully, Ted Lasso next.
Yay!
That should be fun.
We hope.
But it should be on the first watch and not the first rewatch. So that will be a little bit different. And I think it's a shame that we're not going to do that, but that's just how time is.
Right. And we may do it like a 2 episode by 2 episode by 2 episode.
It depends. Those were pretty short episodes.
They're very short. So it might work that way.
Yeah.
So we are hoping that you tune in and you join us for Ted Lasso season 3, which is our next thing.
I'm so excited. Well, okay, I say that. I'm worried, but I'm excited.
I'm worried too. I want people to be happy. Right. And we also would love your input on what show we should do next. Should we do The Queen's spin?
Downton Abbey. Sorry.
Should we do Downton Abbey? Should we do Game of
Thrones? That will make me happy. I'm sorry. I need something to make me happy right now. And I want to rewatch Downton Abbey.
Okay. Maybe we do Downton Abbey. But I will say this. The later seasons of Downton Abbey are not your favorite.
Season 6 is not as bad as you say.
So you say. We shall see. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.